He is now in full knowledge of the truth, and also of his errors of his own learned disquisitions, 24 as his followers believe and pronounce them to be. He can best explain to you the causes of his erroneous beliefs and what led him to attempt to explain the teachings that he received in the spirit world and his experiences in the mystical way that he did. I will not write more on the subject. But I, Ingersoll, who was truly and honestly an agnostic, can and do say that in this spirit world I had less darkness and less erroneous beliefs to get rid of than had Swedenborg. And while he had more of this divine love in his soul than had I, for I had none, yet his mind was so warped by his intellectual conceptions of the truth that it was easier for me to find the true way and progress in it towards the Father's love and the celestial heavens than it was for him. This he has told me, and I have listened to him with much interest, and have learned that the way of the narrow and bigoted orthodox believer is a harder road to travel than that of the agnostic who has not in his soul been too much defiled by sin and evil. I am still progressing and praying, and believing and receiving the inflow of this wonderful love. Oh, I tell you that this love is the greatest thing in all the spirit world, as well as on earth, and the only thing that brings the soul in close union and harmony with the Father. I will not write more now, but soon I will come and write my promised letter. So, my dear friend, with my love and gratitude, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, R. G. Ingersoll. I am here, Mary Kennedy. I am here, and I will not keep my own dear soulmate waiting any longer, for he is just ready to explode from the anxiety that he has to hear from me. He may not acknowledge this to you, but it is true, for I can read his soul and do not flatter myself when I tell you this. Well, it has been some time since I wrote him, even if you do not think so, but it has been to me, for if you could only realize the happiness that I experience in writing to him, you would understand that sometimes we spirits know what time means in the spirit world, though many of them tell you that they do not know what time a long or elaborate essay or discussion on a particular subject, 24, means. Well, it may be so, but I doubt that they who say this have ever had the experience of waiting for the opportunity of writing to their soulmates on earth. I have been with him a great deal, as he knows, and have become a part of his thoughts, and tried to respond in a sensitive way to his thoughts of love that he has sent to me, and sometimes I realize that I succeeded. Well, tonight I desire to tell him that I am more interested in his happiness which comes to him from the inflowing of the Father's love than from any that may come from the inflowing of my love, and while I do love him with all my soulmate love, and want him to realize it in all its fullness, yet I am more anxious that his soul shall be opened up to this greater love that is so necessary to his eternal salvation and a home in the celestial spheres. And besides, I must tell him this, that the souls that have this divine love developed within them have a more wonderful capacity for this lesser love than those who have only the development of the natural love. To the former there is no end of happiness and to the possibilities of progress. From my writings, and especially from those in which I attempt a little pleasantry, Leslie may sometimes think I may be a little frivolous or not so serious as a spirit of my development and possession should be, but of this I want to disabuse his mind, for he must know that when there is great joy and happiness growing out of love, even the divine love, there will be gladness and pleasantry, and sadness or continued seriousness will have no part in that happiness. I am very serious at times, and meditate with great earnestness and soul longings on the truths of the Father and the meaning of his great love, and my soul goes out to him with all the reverence and adoration that he would ask of me, and when I pray for my soulmate and for his progress in this love, then am I most serious and let the longings of my soul go to the Father with all the earnestness that I possess. No, he must not think that I am a frivolous soulmate flitting from sphere to sphere, as one of the spirits wrote you in reference to us who have the love of the Father in our souls, and seemed he so bright and airy. Only those who are in darkness or who are bereft of this great love are habitually serious looking, with never a laugh or a song to make glad the heart of some other spirit or perchance mortal. Why, if I had to always be serious or apparently an angel of deep thought trying to solve the problems of the universe, I 545, the Paget Messages 1917, would not be the possessor of the love that I have, and my face would not shine as the sun, which is the appearance of those spirits who have this love of the Father in their souls as I have it. I am not flattering myself, as you mortals say, but am stating to you a truth that cannot be gainsaid by any in our spirit planes where we of the redeemed souls live and love and pray. Of course, when I come to your room or into the earth plane, I do not bring with me my real appearance which my soul produces, for I would not be what the spirits who live on this plane could endure, and, then, I am only a beautiful spirit as we are sometimes described by those who write, but, as I am, only those who are like me or higher than I can see or understand. And so I am trying to help my dear one to get so much of this love and his soul that, when he comes to our spirit world, it may not be long until he can be in condition to see his Mary as she really is. Well, I am thankful that I could write this tonight, for I so much desired that he should have some conception of me as I really am. Tell him that my love is with him all the time, whether I am his Mary in the lower plane or his Mary in the higher heavens, where she appears to her spirit associates in all the beauty of her glory, a glory that can come only with and from the possession of the greatest of all loves. I thank you and will not write more. So, my dear friend, with my sister's love to you and my soulmate's eternal love to him, I will say good night. Your sister in Christ, Mary. April 1, 1917. I am here, Elias. I will write a few words in respect to the sermon that you listened to tonight on the question, do the dead communicate with the living? The preacher 25 is a believer in what he enunciated, and the only trouble with him is that he has very little knowledge of the truths of spiritualism, and hence his ability to teach these truths is very limited. The mere fact that the soul and spirit of man continued to live when they shuffle off the mortal coil, as he described it, is but the first truth of this great subject, and is one that all spirits learn immediately upon their separation from the body, no matter what their religious beliefs may be or whether they have any such. Reverend J. L. Gordon, preacher of the Congregational Church, 10th and Y Street, Washington, D.C. 25, beliefs or not. This fact is one about which there can be no difference in knowledge. They all know, in a moment, as it were, that there is no such thing as the death of the soul, the real man. But this, as I say, is the mere beginning of knowledge, and beyond the fact of this continuous existence, this knowledge serves no purpose as to the destiny of man. The preacher was much interested in the book, Raymond, or Life and Death, about which he was talking, and found in it some statements that are confirmatory of the beliefs that he already possessed, and some statements that are new to him and which gave him somewhat larger views on the subject, but necessarily these views are not of the vital truths which a more complete or extended knowledge of spiritualism will give to him. The spirit of whom he was talking knew little more than what appeared to his senses, and, of course, these things are only those that come to the knowledge of the spirit when it first enters the spirit land. Its truths are not learned in a moment, and frequently not for centuries, and as to the higher truths, are never learned by a great majority of the spirits. So that, what is contained in the book referred to is very consoling to those who believe that their loved ones are waiting to meet them, and will receive them when they cease to be mortals, with love and affection and joy, and further that these loved ones are with the mortals while on earth, watching over them and trying to help them, yet no information as to the lives that these spirits must lead in the spirit world as soon as their status is determined by the great law of attraction and what the future may be and is disclosed to them, and for the reason that the spirit communicant did not know. But, as the preacher said, it is a glorious knowledge to possess, that man after death, still lives, and that his soul does not have to wait for some great resurrection day to realize that it has life and consciousness. The preacher is still in the dark as to the conditions of spirits and their destiny, and as to the means provided to attain to the heavens, and become released from the hells, by the Father's love. To merely live is not the end of men or spirits, and the fact of living as a spirit of today instead as a mortal of yesterday does not demonstrate immortality. And the consoling thought that the preacher expressed from the fact of continued existence after death, are merely the wishes of desire based on such existence. 546, the Paget Messages 1917, the preacher has at this time within his own soul that which is freed from the limitations of his erroneous beliefs in many supposed truths, would cause him to know that a life in the spirit world is something more than the mere living, and that this living is only a means to the realization and possession of that immortality that is so often preached about and hoped for. He has much of the divine love in his soul, and that soul is struggling to expand and get in condition to receive more of this love, and is prevented from so doing only by the erroneous beliefs that he has imbibed and misconstrued by his long years of living in what he calls the truths of the Bible, and the fear that if he loses such beliefs or questions the truth of the source of his beliefs, there can be no salvation for him. And this is not surprising, for he knows no source of correction of these errors of his beliefs, and as a wise man, and wise only because he does not know how to obtain greater wisdom, he holds on to his beliefs and reverences the source thereof, and his intellect is satisfied, and bird, panting and struggling to beat down the bars of its imprisonment and get out into the freedom of God's wide atmosphere. And his mind, the misguided mind, is the bars of his soul's freedom and prevents it from opening up its own perceptions. If the preacher only knew the truth and the way to open the doors to his soul's prison, he would long for that truth and seek that way with all the energies of his soul's powers, and would then become free and progress towards the attainment of a certain knowledge of immortality. But this I will say now, that sometime he will learn the truth and the way, and his beliefs will become in accord with the longings of his soul, and the shackles of his mind's erroneous beliefs will be loosened and fall from him, and then he will realize that he is a true son of the Father, privileged to partake of a great love without limit in his onward progress to the celestial spheres. The church was filled with many spirits interested in the discourse, anxious to learn any truths that might be declared, but they learned nothing, for what he declared, as truths, they already knew, notwithstanding that these spirits were of all kinds, wicked and dark and suffering and bright and happy, and mostly still men without the physical body. Well, I thought it might be advisable to write as I have, so that, if the preacher should ever hear 547, this message, he will see the necessity for seeking the deep and real truths that disclose the conditions and destinies of the spirit of men. And besides, he will also realize the importance of his knowing these truths, so that he may teach them not only to men, but to spirits as well, who form the vastly larger part of his audience. I will not write more now. With my love and prayers for the Father's blessings on you, I'm your brother in Christ, Elias. April 3, 1917. I am here, James, the lesser. I will not write long tonight, but pray to the Father to bless you and make your faith increase. No, I never belonged to any of those sects, nor did Jesus. He was never learned in the wisdom of India or Egypt, or Persia, as the writer whom you were reading tonight asserted. He was taught by the Father and the angels of God, and his knowledge was that which came from these teaching and the opening up of his soul perceptions. He was not a son of the Magi, or of the wise men of any of the countries referred to, but as to knowledge and wisdom he was a son of the Father only. I will come again soon and write you. So, good night. Your brother in Christ, James. April 8, 1917. I am here, Swedenborg. I merely want to say that I have been reading my work as you read, and that I now realize how many statements of error and untruth I made in that work. The errors are so many that it will take a longer time than I have tonight in which to give you a bare outline of them. But I will soon come and write you, and hope that you can give me an evening when I can write without limitation of time. Since I have been in the spirit world, I have found that there are so many statements in my writings of my experiences while in the mortal, when I was permitted in my spirit, or as I then said, interiors, to enter the spirit world, that were not truly conceived or interpreted, that it is absolutely necessary that I should correct and describe in accordance with what I now know of the truth, and especially is this necessary as I have on earth a large number of mortals who believe in my teachings and are trying to follow them in their lives and deeds. So, you will appreciate my anxiety, the Paget Messages 1917, to be permitted to write. Tonight, I will not write more. Well, I am sorry to say, that I did not know of the divine love, which by its reception into the soul made angels of men, and recreated them, so that their souls became in their very substance, divine. I did not know of this love is contradistinguished from the love that was bestowed upon man at his creation, and which, in itself, has nothing of the divine. No, I was ignorant of this and never learned it in the spirit world in my visits to that world, or in my conversation with spirits. I know now that no matter how great is the ruling love of a man for falsity and evil when he enters the hells, he will have the opportunity to have that love changed, and that ultimately the loves of all who are in the hells will be changed into the love for good, in some instances into the love of the divine, and in others, to the purification of their natural loves to that which will make them perfect men. These are some of the things that I desire to write about, and there are many others equally erroneous. I'm in the celestial spheres, and of course, am an angel of God and the possessor of His divine love that has caused my soul to become divine, and immortality to become to me a thing of understanding and possession. I will stop now, and with my love and the blessings of God and all the divine angels, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Emmanuel Swedenborg. I am here, Luke. I come to tell you that you must not doubt that Swedenborg wrote to you, and what you wrote, or rather, received, in answer to your questions, he actually wrote. We are all desirous that he shall write you on the subjects that he has expressed a desire to write upon, for many of the teachings and doctrines that are contained in his earthly writings are erroneous and must be corrected, for they are being studied and believed in by many mortals, and all to their leading away from the truth. The one great error or untruth that must be corrected is his teaching that Jesus is God. This is blasphemous and abhorrent to all the angelic spirits, and more so to the Master than to any other, and for the correction of this, Swedenborg must write. Well, I will not write more tonight, except to say this, that another anniversary of the resurrection of the Master, as it is believed, has come, and men are worshipping Jesus as God, and sending their praises and thanks to Him as the great Redeemer of the world by His death and resurrection, while as you know, His death had very little to do with that redemption, and His resurrection was not the resurrection that He taught could be the experience and possession of all mankind. It is pitiable and destructive to the truth for men to believe and teach that the mere resurrection of the spirit from the body is the resurrection that Jesus came to teach and demonstrate, and when we see each year a repetition of the observance of the anniversary of this rising of Jesus from His physical body, and all the false beliefs and teachings, we realize more and more the necessity for our truths being made known to the world. So you must work harder and pray to the Father to increase your soul development so that our messages may be more rapidly received. Remember what John said a few nights ago and believe, for the promises then made will soon be realized by you. I will come soon and write a message. With my love and great desire that we become closer in our rapport and more expedient in our work, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well dear, I come to say that Swedenborg actually wrote you, as I realize that you had a doubt come into your mind as to whether he really wrote. He actually answered your questions in his own words, and not any thought contained in his answers came from your mind. Luke also wrote, and you must believe. Good night and God bless you. Your own true and loving, Helen. April 12, 1917 I am here, Luther. When I was on earth I had my troubles and suffering but thanks be to the Father, I was never forsaken and you will not be. And when you consider the greater importance of your work as compared to mine, you must realize that the Father and the powers of His angels are more interested in preserving you from everything that may interfere with your work than He was. 548, the Paget Messages 1917, with me. For while I was earnest and sincere in what I attempted to do, and believed that I was right in my attacks on Catholicism and in my teachings of the truth, yet I was in error in many things. And you, on the contrary, will not be in error, because what you may receive will come only from the spirits and angels who know what God's truths are. So you must see the importance of your work and the necessity for its being accomplished. Take courage. And when these thoughts of dread of not being provided for and being felt without the means necessary to your existence, come to you, cast them aside. My dear brother, believe what I have been trying to impress you with, and that we all love you, and are trying to help you. Good night. Your brother in Christ, Martin Luther. I am here, Grover Cleveland. Let me say a word, too. I am your friend and desire to say just a few words about what has just been written you, and of the necessity of keeping up your faith in what has been promised you, and your courage. Of course, I am not of the higher spirits, but I am in the soul spheres of the spirit world, and it is so, as I am very happy to say, very largely because of your advice and help, and consequently, you must know that I feel very grateful. I have not written you for a long time, and I have no doubt that you wonder who I am that is thus writing you, but in your wonder, think that I am a most grateful spirit, and one who desires to help you all that he can. I acted on your advice and listened to the high spirits who came to me and told me of the wonderful plan of God for the salvation of men and the making of their souls pure and like unto his in love, and I, at last, to an extent, believed what they told me and prayed and hoped and continued to pray, and found that my prayers opened up the way to the Father's love, and to his kingdom of light and happiness. It was surprising to me how simple the plan is, and how the true longings of the soul will bring to itself this great love, for I found that as I longed and desired in true earnestness, this love was present, always present and not afar off to be searched for. Now the Father must love the souls of mortals and spirits. Well, now I am in the third sphere and in the association of spirits like myself who are filled with this love to the extent that they are in great light and happiness, always striving for more love, yet 549, always contented. You may not understand this seeming paradox, but it is true, contented yet striving for more. And this is because this great love of the Father has in it those qualities that bring a satisfying happiness and, the same time, creates a desire for more love. Well, my friend, I desire to tell you this because I know that you are interested in knowing something of my experience in the spirit world, and are pleased to know that I can call myself one of the redeemed. And now, knowing the truth of the Father's love, and what its possession means to a spirit, I feel a great desire to tell you that what you first told me of is a thing of reality, and that when you instruct spirits as to this love and the way to obtain it and happiness, you are conveying to them truths that are as real as the existence of our spirit world and the soul of men therein. I heard what the other spirits wrote you tonight and also want to urge you to have faith, for I know this, that all the powers of these high spirits are being exercised in your behalf, for they say that you have a work to do, that only you can do. What a wonderful thing to contemplate! I do not yet understand it all, but this I do know, that you seem to be of great importance to these spirits. I am now much more interested in spiritual matters than in the war that your country has just entered, for I now see that among men and in their short lives on earth, wars and all such calamities are mere incidents, and do not determine the destinies of men in the great eternity, except as the individuals may or may not by their thoughts and desires carried into action, contaminate the conditions of their own souls and fit them for the hells and punishments that follow. If men would only understand that, after they become spirits and possess some of this divine love, the mortals of earth, all alike, become their brothers, and nationalities and race distinctions disappear to the spirit's consciousness. All are brothers and the possible recipients of this love. But still, while we have no particular interest in nations as such, yet we have with us individuals and sympathize with them and love them, and are glad when those things which bring upon them unhappiness and misery cease to exist, and we try to exercise our influence for good on those who have the administration and directing of national affairs, and in this way we are interested in the war. To us there comes no feeling of bias or prejudice against any nation, or desire that any one nation shall become victorious, except as we see the men of one nation are in their advocacy of principles, the Paget Messages 1917, and justice more in accord with the righteousness and truth than another, and then we are on the side of truth and use our influence for its success. In this war, I think that the Germans and their allies will be unsuccessful and believe that the war will soon end. But this is for man to determine, though we are exercising our influence to bring about this determination. I will not write more tonight, but as I progress, which the higher spirits tell me I will do, I will come to you and write you of my progress. With my love and gratitude, I will subscribe myself, your brother in Christ, Grover Cleveland. April 14, 1917. I am here, Elias. I come tonight to write a few lines only, as you are not in condition to receive the lengthy discourse that I promised you. I merely desire to say that I will be pleased to give you my message as soon as you feel that you are in condition to receive it. Of course, as you know, it is necessary for you to be in the proper condition, as it is for me to be so. There must be a mutual rapport so that our powers may work in unison. Well, I have nothing further to write tonight, except to say that you must not let your feelings of discouragement take so great a hold on you. They do harm and unfit you for your work. So with my love, I will say good night, Elias. April 19, 1917. I am here, mother of Leslie. I came to say that I am much pleased for this opportunity to write to him once more. Of course, I have been with him a great deal and he has felt my presence, but it is so much more satisfactory to write him and tell him in words of my love and solicitude for his welfare. I am now in a higher sphere of the celestial heavens and correspondingly happy, and I find that as this great love comes to me, it seems that I love him with a greater intensity. I wish that I could describe the glories of my new home so that he might have some idea of what the heavens constitute in which his mother now lives and what it means. He has heard described some of the spiritual spheres which transcend all conceptions. But those descriptions are very inadequate to convey the true portrayal of what the heaven which is mine contains. 550. But I am also happy in that his father has also progressed and is so much happier and has so much more of the love in his soul. We are in the earth plane a great deal of the time trying to help his sisters and brothers who have their many troubles and the moments of unhappiness, and if we could only get in rapport with them like we can with Leslie, they would be much happier. But as it is, they do believe in our presence as their true loving parents and are conscious of us sometimes when they need our help. But this they cannot understand, and their thoughts do not often turn to us, and as a consequence we are not able to get as close to them as we desire. The girls are more interested in earthly matters than in those pertaining to the spirit world, and are very largely absorbed in the war and its possibilities. Well, this is quite natural, but yet if they could only know that the other things such as the spirit are more important, and if they would only turn their thoughts more to the spirit world and think of their parents more often, they would receive an influence and help that would add so much to their happiness even though they could not understand its source. As you know, we are controlled by law, and no matter how great our desires may be to come in closer contact with our children and cause them a greater happiness, but if they do not want to respond to our feelings, they can prevent our doing so. Of course, they do not understand what possibilities are theirs and what a little thing keeps them from us, or rather permitting our influence to come to them as it otherwise would. Let them have a real yearning for our presence, or a wish that they could have us with them, and it will lift the veil that keeps us from making our presence conscious to their soul's perceptions. We are hoping though that someday, or rather some way, they will have an awakening so that we may come closer together. Tell Leslie to write them to think more about their mother and send out a desire that they could have her with them, and then I will be with them and they will know that it is true, although they may not realize the fact. Yes, I sometimes visit the scenes of battles, and it is also possible that I do not stay very long, except at some time when I have the opportunity to help some poor spirit who has suddenly found himself in the spirit world and is in great confusion and apparently all alone. I am also with my son who is in the army and try so hard to reach his consciousness, but with very little success, and while I do not know when he may be called to, the Paget messages 1917, battle and suffer the dissolution of life, yet I am with him waiting to help him should the end of life come to him. My love draws me to him, and my love will keep me with him until he either becomes a spirit or returns to his home. 26. What a terrible thing is war, and if mortals would only understand what it means to the individual spirit, they would try to bring an end to its ravages and destruction. I have written considerably and must stop. But I wish to say that Leslie's father is also here now and sends his love and blessings and wants him to know that the signal which he spoke of is the one that his father uses to notify him of his presence. Also tell Leslie to continue to pray and believe, for in doing so his prayers ascend to the real living and loving Father, and his beliefs are of the truth of the great truth that leads to God and redemption and immortality. Thanking you, I will say, good night, Priscilla Stone. April 22, 1917. I am here, Jesus.